I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast. It is post, well, if you celebrate, or I know it's a bit of a interesting day, the gratitude day or the turkey day or the Thanksgiving day. I have a couple friends who choose to opt out entirely, and they're just like, I'll celebrate gratitude next week, but I will not do it on this day. So however you choose to approach it, is it about family? Is it about whatever?
Is it about stuffing?
Or was it just another day?
It's about turkey.
Yeah, you left town. You were gone for
5 days.
5 days. Damn, I haven't seen you in that long.
I was in Bend, Oregon.
I'm having withdrawals. Ship withdrawals. I missed you.
I know, and I ate way too much food, way too much rich food that I typically, my tummy's not used to eating. And I was like, oh, I don't feel nauseous.
You got the gases?
I just had the nauseousness.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I was grateful. I enjoy just having big dinners with friends and family and friends that are family.
Yeah, that's good. Good job.
Yeah.
I was here and, I'll just say holidays can be hard.
I just was listening to a podcast about that from Glennon Doyle. She wrote that book, Untamed.
Oh, yeah.
And no, she has a podcast. Book, yeah. She was talking about this because she's like, what the fuck do you do when the holidays are around and it just triggers you?
Triggers the fuck out of you.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm one of those. My hand's being raised right now.
You're like, I leave town.
Totally. Yeah. And it's rough because I just immerse myself, though, in cooking the food and drinking the wine and champagne. But you had some challenging times.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I already was bringing up stuff in general, and I'm going through some other personal health things too. And so have it all at once. And it just made it my capacity to handle the things. Here's the thing with triggering, right? It's like when I have a lot of capacity or my resource tank is full, and that can include like good sleep, I'm eating really healthy, good exercise, meditating every day, good relationships with my friends and my family and my partner and all these things. But if that tank is really low and I have some other stuff going on, other health stuff going on that just kind of depletes that, then it makes it so that when I'm triggered, I don't have a lot of resources. That tank is low. Whereas if I got triggered when it was high, I'd have a lot more capacity to handle when the shit hits the fan. But when it's high, it might not even feel like shit. It might not even be like a trigger. It's like, oh, this is a little heavy, but I got this. Versus when my resource tank is low, I'm like, fuck, I don't have this and I need to go do some self-care right now. So I ended Thanksgiving by spending some time in my hot tub crying with myself, which just is what needed to happen. And
that's what I did last year after Christmas.
Yeah.
I spent an entire day by myself crying and going through every piece of my life that I felt like I fucked up in and trying to better it.
You took an inventory.
I took an inventory and
it was like a harsh inventory, like a mean one to yourself?
I definitely... It was writing letters to myself and writing letters to people that I feel like I've wronged, sending some of them, letters meaning text messages, but mindfully doing so and then driving up the coast of California while the sun was setting with my dog listening to Frank Ocean and fucking crying my eyes out, being like,
therapy.
Why am I here? Aww. You know, what am I doing for this planet? I'm so fucked up. That's how I was. And this is sad. This is not a sad episode, but that was sad. And it was when I was cracked open, I didn't ask anyone for help, which I'm not saying is the right way. I felt at that point, like you were mentioning it, that I wasn't resourced at the time because it was the day after Christmas and most of my friends are out of town or with their families. And I didn't want to call them up, cry my eyes out. And I knew that Legend and I could do it together. Yeah. And so I went up the coast and threw the ball for him on the beach and it was beautiful. And just taking in nature was one of the biggest it was so gratifying and one of the biggest changes in my psyche at that time when I was so cracked open and sad. I was just staring at the ocean thinking about how vast this world is and how every one of us has a piece of this beautiful puzzle that is Mother Nature that we can all contribute in one way or the other.
Yeah, I love that. And the medicine of nature and the healing that is available. And if you live in a big urban area, maybe you don't have easy access, I swear you probably have a bush or something somewhere that you could probably
go buy go a connect tree.
To. Yeah, go yeah. buy a tree or something. Or just, yeah. And sometimes it's an effort to go and get out there. Like we live in Santa Cruz. It's pretty easily accessible. But yeah, I feel the healing power of that. Or, you know, for me that night was the hot tub with something grounding. It was something to help me like pull me down out of my head. And I allowed myself to cry too, which I think is big. And so we're saying this is a happy episode. It's actually a really fun, playful, ridiculous episode with our friend Ian Stratton. We had a really good time. But we're saying this because I'm sure a lot of you can relate. Some of you probably are like, holidays are great. I don't get triggered, or I had a really great holiday. And some of you are probably like, fuck the holidays. And we're with you on all sides. So
I think, I think that Thanksgiving is probably my favorite one for U.S. holidays.
Yeah.
It was my favorite. And then it moves into the my not so favorite holidays, but we celebrated Hanukkah.
Oh,
because
nice.
My friends are Jewish, so we lit the menorah. So Hanukkah Sameach to all of the Jewish folks out there.
We're on the third day.
Hanukkah. I didn't even say it right. Hanukkah Sameach.
Third night. We're on the third night of Hanukkah.
We are on the third night because we lit it the first night, and I was gone yesterday because I was on a plane.
I'm the one that's Jewish too, and I'm like the worst.
You are. With
it. I actually tomorrow I'm making hippie latkes, so that's happening.
I love those. Last year you did that.
Yeah, oh. Hippie latkes.
All right. We should get into a testimonial.
Okay. Anyway, okay.
Oh yeah, we're getting off track.
We're recording right now. Oh shit.
Oh shit. I want to come over for your latkes.
Okay, you can.
Okay. Okay, here's a testimonial. I just wanted to let you know that I love you guys. My husband started listening and told me about it. We are both hooked now, and we have gone back and listened to tons of the old episodes. Y'all have started so many conversations between us that we never would have had a year ago. We have tried so much new stuff and even tried Uber Lube in our mouths. Side note, it's awesome. Our sex life and relationship have never been better. Keep being you, please.
Aww,
smiley face.
Love it. That's so sweet.
Keep being lube. Please. Just kidding.
I'm going to be lube.
I'm going to be lube.
I'm going to keep being me. I have no choice but to be me. So. No, I love that. I love hearing testimonials from listeners, regardless of what you have to say, but especially if all of a sudden it's cracking you open, you're having more connection and deeper conversations and better sex, and you're putting Uber Lube in your mouth, which was an April trick, right? That was your jam.
I've used it many a times when I feel like I didn't have enough saliva in my mouth, so I would just have a little dib dab, and it's not like I'm eating it. Which you can, but we don't recommend eating it,
but you can put it in your mouth.
That's
it
what we served at Thanksgiving dinner.
Did you? You took shots of Uber?
Yeah, we did. We're like, go ahead.
It worked very well as an antacid,
I'm sure. Yes, it did.
And that is not what Uber Lube is sold for. We're going to take this opportunity to dive right into telling you all about Uber Lube. If you listen to a lot of our episodes, you've heard us talk about it, but here we are again. If you haven't tried it yet, by the way, you must try Uber Lube. In our opinion, it is one of the best lubes on the market. It's a silicone lube that's long-lasting, never gets sticky, no flavor, no scent. It is a luxurious lube. It's the kind of lube where you're like, this is lube. You actually want it on your skin and your body. It's incredible.
And you can use it in your butt.
In your hair. You use it for
in
massage.
In your vagina, on your penis, on your bits.
All your bits.
On your hands.
Sometimes I put it on my legs when they're dry, my elbows.
I will say one thing is sad when my dog gets greased up after I pet him and I have some Uber Lube on and I didn't wash it. I'm like, sorry, legend. I just oiled your hair up. But
oh, no.
He's going to the groomer tomorrow.
I don't think they did any animal testing,
no,
so you can't speak for this.
It wasn't an animal test. It was an accident.
But if you want to try what we think is the best lube ever, go to uberlube.com, use coupon code shamelesssex, and you get 10% off and free shipping. This is in the U.S. alone, but it is all over the world. So you can probably go find it in your local sex shop if you're in another country besides the U.S.
Yep.
You ready for a sex question, Chip Chop?
I don't know what this is, so I will be
surprise.
Participating with our listeners right here.
My partner experiences a lot of shame around how long he lasts during sex. I find it hard to climax through intercourse alone, and I am always satisfied through other play. I have no issue with how long he lasts. He often ends sex by saying he wishes he could last longer. He used to be able to last longer than that, and he needs to do something about it. I try to reassure him by letting him know that I am satisfied with our sex life. I had a great time. I am 100% okay with him climaxing when he's ready and that he has nothing to be ashamed about. He still feels a lot of shame and thinks that I'm just saying those things to make him feel better. How can I help him work through this shame and enjoy his orgasm without feeling guilty or embarrassed? Totally experienced this before. So I think this is from a vulva owner, is my assumption.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been with a partner who kept shaming themselves about how long they last, but you were like, You said all these things are like, no, this is totally fine. I'm totally happy to just be here with you and play with you. And they still continue to shame themselves about it.
Well, of course. I think in some of the long-term partnerships, when they evolve, there's ebbs and flows where they're like, oh, wait, I used to be able to last so much longer, or I like to come, or sometimes ejaculate wouldn't come out, but they felt like they orgasmed, so, and they would be hard on themselves about it, and I've never been hard on anyone else, but I've also been the person that's hard on myself about not orgasming during sex.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, this doesn't happen. So
yeah.
Even though I'm not a penis owner, still there can be pressure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, we can create our own pressure. And so it sounds like this to this listener who wrote this, you're already doing all the things. You're saying whatever you can to say, I'm totally okay. I'm just happy to play with you. And I mean, that's one thing I like to say, whether it's like when I'm with partners and maybe their cock doesn't get hard or they come quickly or something. It's, I say like, oh, all good. That's totally fine. There's so many other ways that we can play. It doesn't revolve around a hard cock or a cock that lasts really long too. Like, you have plenty of fingers and hands. I have sex toys. And so saying something along those lines, I'm just happy to play with you however your cock shows up. But if you're saying all those things, he continues to loop through this whole thing of there's something wrong with me. I used to be able to do this. I need to fix this and change this. Another piece of advice is, don't take that shit on as your own. Like, I know that we want to help people to feel good, and you're probably taking it on as like your job to help him feel better about his thing that he thinks is a problem that you're saying is not your job. It's hard to do, but I wouldn't say necessarily just like step away and just let him go and down the cycle, but to express that, like, I support you. I've told you just many times that this is totally okay. I just love playing with you. And I'm going to let you know that I also can't really take this on as mine, because it's going to stress you out more. Now you're going to be in your head. To maybe encourage them, like, hey, if you really think this is a thing, maybe go do some work on it. Again, I'm totally happy with it, but maybe go do some work on it. Like Keely Rankin, that episode with her, I can look it up, but she did a lot of really great stuff about ejaculatory control. That's like her specialty. If you go to KeelyRankin.com, that's her jam.
Right. And I would also suggest, from a sex toy manufacturer perspective, and what I know about sex toys, a cock ring that can constrict blood flow, like the Atom Plus or that one by Hot Octopus. You can actually put it on when the cock is totally soft. You put each testicle in, you turn it, it kind of locks into place, it puts pressure on the perineum, and then it actually constricts blood flow. So it can help folks that ejaculate, and I'm just saying that ejaculate faster than they would like to. It can help them last longer. It can help them actually last as much as they want to. Not all the time. It takes practice. And there's also other things that can help folks with ejaculatory control, masturbation. There's stamina trainers.
But he would have to choose it, right? So that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is like, you would say, so what the first thing you said I liked, which is like, I mean, I like both. I like all of April. But the wee thing, you know, if you make it a thing of like, you know, how can we share this together? Okay, this is a problem for you. And reminding him over and over again. And also, I would comment on the fact that he's saying, or is he saying, you're just saying this, or do you
wishes he could last longer?
But is he telling this person that wrote this, you're just saying that you don't really believe that? Because that's what it sounded like this person's feeling, like the penis owner partner is saying, you're just saying that to reassure
make him feel
me.
Better, it says.
But so yeah. So what I would suggest is to let him know, like, I hear that that's your story, but that's not true for me, so please don't tell me that that's true for me. Like, I would put firm boundaries on that shit if that's not true for you. And then if you want to offer it up for you two to explore this together, for your partner to learn to last longer, then you can explore slower sex. You can explore sensations and different types of touch. So he could do, like April was saying, a masturbation practice.
Vibrating cock rings.
Yeah.
If I believe this vulva-owning person, I believe, I'm not sure, it doesn't say, but it vibrates. So the cock vibrates, and if you grind on that and you have a vulva, it can help you, because they were saying they find it hard to climax through intercourse alone. So,
oh, for separately. But don't you think the vibrations would make the penis owner him come more quickly?
Well, it has the constriction piece, so you can turn it lower.
Okay, cool.
There's lots of different options.
Yeah.
And they can focus on the sensation, as you were saying. I like that. Focus on what you're feeling.
It's
love your hands, how they feel. Yeah, they feel my body.
Down.
Exactly. Instead of just focusing on how your genitals are feeling.
Or performing.
Right.
Get off the performance train. If you want to buy into the sex toys April's talking about, you can go to purepleasureshop.com and use coupon code shamelesssex. You get 15% off of all sex toys. Hey, hey, hey. All right, let's dive into that bio, Chippa.
Let's do it. Our friend, dear friend, by the way, Ian Stratton is a man on a mission to help liberate others from trauma and unconscious programming, bringing their passions to life. He does this through his training as a somatic counselor, ethical use of psychedelics, and his latest offering and creation, a deep dive program called Altered. To learn more, visit SantaCruzMedicine.com or altered.life. That's altared.life. But first,
in or wanting to get into the dating world and looking to meet other open-minded folks who embrace their sexuality, then you have to check out my favorite free dating app, Field. Field is the alternative dating app for couples and singles to explore their desires. At Field, you can share your sexual or relational interests directly on your profile so that people know exactly what you're into. From cuddling and kissing to BDSM and non-monogamy, you can be open from the beginning and connect with like-minded humans in a space created for safe and sexy ethical exploration.
Field is the dating app for everyone. With radical open-mindedness designed into the app, you can share freely about your sexuality, no matter how traditional, kinky, wild, or romantic you may be. Just like shameless sex, non-conformity and shame-free individuality is what Field is all about. And here's some more great news. You can download the Field app for free and support our show by going to field.co/shameless. That's FEELD.co/shameless. Or just click the link in our episode description to get the Field app for free today. Go check it out. All right, it's interview time.
All right, everyone, it is episode time. And guess what? We are in person. I mean, April and I were usually in person once new. It's really exciting to see you, Chip. I'm so happy to be with you.
Wow, I'm so excited that you're excited to see me. I'm happy to see you, and I'm so excited to see Ian.
Ian Stratton. Yay. Here in the house with us. He lives here in Santa Cruz. He is a dear friend, and so we live in Santa Cruz. It's kind of a hard place to do in-person podcasts with because, well, most of the educators, doctors, therapists, authors don't live in Santa Cruz, so most of our things are online. But we get Ian here in the flesh. He's currently massaging April's dog, who's obsessed with it.
This dog loves me.
The dog is obsessed with you. And so we are here today to talk about many different things. I'll do my own Amy generalization. I don't even know if this is accurate, but a lot about masculinity, penis owning folks, and those could be separate things, and how they can step into their best, most authentic, perhaps most evolved or most alive or most connected selves, and how we are going to relate that to sexuality and relationships. And I understand that Ian and Daniel Molnar, who is not here, and I've taught many workshops with, one of the best fucking, when I teach with them, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not worthy. I don't know. Do you feel like that about teaching with him? You're like,
he's amazing.
He's the best. He's amazing. Like,
it's so comfortable teaching with him.
Yeah, and he's just so talented. And so they're teaching a six-month, it's not a workshop. What do we call it?
Program.
All right. And this is for penis owners?
It's for all genital owners.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, like, April and I can come?
You two should come.
Oh, shit. He just should
hash the first piece from the record. It's all right. Like anyone.
So, we're not just talking about... Okay, so, all right. I was already off. See? So, you're just winging it with us. So, we're talking about how all of us can be our highest, most connected selves to ourselves, to partners, and as in speaking to sex and relationships mostly, although you do know at Shameless Sex, we have a lot of tangents. And when we're in person, we have a lot more fun and we're all friends here. So we'll see where it goes. But we will start with the same prompt that we generally do with all guests, which is how did you get to where you are today in the world of helping people with somatic change and growth?
That is a big question.
Yep.
It really started with my own realization at some point that I was fucking up in life. That I was huge shadows and blind spots, and with my sexuality, with the way that I treated other people, with my own personal integrity, and I at some point started to kind of see some of it. I met some people who helped me smoke some toad.
Oh, oh, yeah.
You're not actually smoking toad, anyone that isn't familiar with that.
Well, no, it's a thing from a toad.
Yes, but Yes, but yes. There's not like chopping up little toads. And no. Some people might be like, oh, you smoke a toad?
No, it's not. It's not venom.
So anybody in PETA out there, nope, it's consensual for the toad.
Yeah, they're not. What? Actually, I don't know. I guess I don't know that. Okay, that could be. I don't know if the toad said yes. But what I will say is what we're talking about is a substance that comes from a specific toad that you can milk the gland. And I have not done this. I have not experienced it, but I have not milked the glands myself. But I know that you can milk the glands of these toads, and then you smoke it, and you will perhaps have the experience that Ian will now talk about.
Right, yes. It's 5-MeO-DMT is the magic that's inside of the toad, and there's synthetic versions of it. If someone ever gets interested in this, I suggest finding the synthetic version because they don't know how this is actually affecting toad populations.
Yeah, like if it's consensual, and it, well, we don't know that, but like, is it hurting them? Is it hurting the...
So... it could talk about toads for a long time, but that was a huge, kind of like a tuning fork for my life. And I didn't realize it in that moment that there was going to be all this massive change, but it's pretty easy for me to go back to that time and see, okay, I can see who I was before, completely blind, just kind of rolling through life, still an awesome person in a lot of ways. And then afterwards, on a completely different journey of growth and self-transformation and leading to where I am now, which is working with people with somatic therapies and psychedelics to help them change their lives, and then building this program with Daniel, which has just been an incredible process of how to design something that can be replicable so people can affect their lives in a meaningful way.
You two have done Hakomi together, that's right.
Yeah, so we...
As
Ian and
well,
I have,
right.
have a lot of paths. So we've been friends for a number of years, and a lot of times... This is what I love about Ian. Ian would be like, hey...
I've had a crush on Amy for a really long time.
Who doesn't? Everyone I know has a crush on Amy.
Oh, that's sweet.
Amy was special.
And this probably isn't why Ian always said yes when I asked him a question. It wasn't just the crush. Okay, everyone. But I'd be like, Ian, do you want to go to this ecstatic dance? He'd be like, sure, why not? You know, just like no thought. Just like, oh, you're into it and you're a cool person. Yeah, why not? Ian, do you want to take this Hakomi training? Sure, why not? You know, so, and then there's various other things that happened. Where
an ecstatic dance, for anyone that doesn't know, because we're speaking to, it's like this really fun thing. Amy's brought me to a couple of them.
I brought her to Salt Lake City ecstatic dance.
And she was like, do you want to do this thing? So you go in, there's no alcohol, no beverages of any sort around. No consumption of any sort.
So you talking on the dance floor?
No talking. It's silent. And then there's this person playing music, a DJ of all sorts of, I don't know, the genre we were participating in Salt Lake City was interesting. And then everybody just moves around each other and you just do whatever your body wants to do. It's ecstatic and it's dancing. And so you can bounce off of each other, but it's not moshing. It's really,
it's super freeing. Well,
it is freeing because you could just move your body around like.
And I just went to my first punk rock
There's
show.
There's no shame in
and,
it.
And I was like, this is very similar to ecstatic dance here where people are just doing whatever the fuck their body wants to do. And it's so freeing. But yet they're also screaming and yelling and crying. And I was like, this, okay. And honestly,
you
guys,
can't do that at ecstatic dance, from what I remember,
people
right?
People make sounds,
oh,
and
you
there's
could?
Tears, oh. and there's, but you're, it's not like, hey, so what's up? What'd you do yesterday, you know, on the dance floor? And so very different, but I digress. So
no, I just wanted to explain that because I feel like there's certain things that a lot of folks out there that are from places like where I'm from have no fucking idea where what an ecstatic dance is or what toad medicine would be. They're like, what are they talking about? So I just I'm going to be the glossary.
And
okay?
I think what's valuable about what you're saying is the conditioning. Okay, so about dance. We have been conditioned and not, okay, we as a generalization, I'll speak for myself. Amy Baldwin, for most of her life, actually I was dance shamed when I was 13, first dancing at a school dance, and all my girlfriends who were very sweet now, but then were like, ha, you look funny. And for about like, bitches. I still say it to some of them. I was like, you were so mean then. You're such a nice person now. But I was programmed to think that there was a certain way to move my body. And if I didn't move my body in that way on the dance floor, and this can apply to sex, this can apply to the way I hug you or walk down the street, then I wasn't normal. You were all looking at me. You were all judging me, and I didn't fit in. And I know, again, we're already on a tangent here, but I think that this is valuable because my guess is part of what your workshop is, and as well as the work that you're doing with people, as well as what you have learned on your path, is that you are getting out of the socially constructed frame of this is what I should be, and here's actually who I am in a way that still respects and is consensual and supports other humans. Correct?
Yes. Yeah. I love that you brought up that part of me that didn't actually know what ecstatic dance was, because it's such a big part of my life now.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so to go back and be like, yeah, I said yes with Amy to go to ecstatic dance one time, and then...
Did Amy also bring you to your first ecstatic dance situation?
She did.
Oh, you did, Amy.
I do a lot of things.
It's impressive. That's all I wanted to ask, because I was impressed. Have you been doing a lot of ecstatic dance since then?
I do a ton of ecstatic dance.
I want to see you love ecstatic dance.
Well, I want to see you ecstatic dance. You know, the interesting thing, too, accepted. And this leads to what Amy was saying, is that there's actually a lot of people who have an issue with it being called ecstatic dance, because it actually, in a way, defines how you're supposed to be dancing, that your dance has to be ecstatic.
Oh, it has to be big and free and ecstatic.
Right, where someone is like, I might just be feeling like shit today and want to lay on the floor and breathe deeply for 2 hours to whatever weird Salt Lake City DJ you were listening to.
What? It was good.
That's the thing that I loved about it, though, because I also have a little shame around dancing. And this episode is not about dancing, but going to that was liberating, because you could do, I felt, I was looking at people doing whatever they wanted. And some people were doing yoga or just like poses and not dancing with each other. It's more about yourself. It was like an embodied self thing more than having a partner and dancing like at school dances when,
you know,
You Look Wonderful Tonight would come on by Eric Clapton and you have to stand next and you're like, it's so awkward.
You just dated yourself.
Yes, I did. Clapton. It's a classic. It's a classic.
Okay.
Dance is a perfect example of this way that we get societally programmed, and we take on this shit that just isn't ours, and it gets on layer after layer after layer. Of course, it happens in sexuality, and it happens in every part of our life in ways that we don't even know, which is a huge part of my mission here in life, is to figure out how can we become aware of those different patterns and then decide, actually, I don't want that pattern. I want to be this type of person, or I want to have this type of pattern, and I want to be super clear about every part of my life and what I do and why I'm doing it, instead of just moving along one step after the other, not realizing why we're
like
doing what
robot.
We're doing.
Like I am robot.
I am programmed.
You're a human doing, not a human being.
Yeah.
I like that term.
So would you say that...
You're not one of those. You're a human being, not a human doing. I feel like I'm a human doing a lot of times. I'm like, no, I want to be a human being.
I'm probably like a human doobie. I'm working on it.
Want to smoke some of that doobie over there? The human doobie. I like that.
Oh my god!
It's kind of it's.
Can we trademark that?
The human doobie. It's kind of a balance between the two, right? Because I mean, even if you're a human being, like you're probably not just gonna, you know, swim all day and climb a tree, or even those things are some form of doing. And so you want to be with what you're doing, and you want to do who you are out into the world, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. So one of my questions that I was going to ask, because from what you stated right before that, was, you know, April and I like to put her in the same category as me, but I'm pretty sure she thinks similar to me. We like steps, and we like to, like, you know, like the, you know, the heady linear or
the
logical
Cliff's Notes version.
Well, and also just like step one, you know, is, so would you say in your journey, as well as what you are offering to teach people, whether it's one-on-one or in this course that's coming up, or I guess it's more than a course, is the first piece the awareness? Is it the awareness, and then the uncovering of, oh my God, here's all the ways that I, bring it to sex, right? Here's all the ways that I learned to have sex this one way, and it's fucking up with my masturbation practice or my relationships or, you know, whatever. And so would you say that's a big part of step one, is some sort of awareness and uncovering of that?
Or what are the steps? Or at least a couple of them.
We like steps.
Yes. Step one.
I think step one is, awareness, and it's going to be right there with a decision to say, I want to become more aware of myself and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then step two is to get clear and decide, okay, now that I'm aware of what I'm doing, what do I want to do? Like, how do I want to spend my time? How do I want to spend my life? How do I want to express my sexuality? Who do I want to express my sexuality to? And how do I want to define myself in the world as a person and figure out who I am internally so that I can put that out and express it in a beautiful way?
That's just so difficult sometimes, at least for me. I'm such a heady fucker to be like, who am I in the world? And even if when I think I have purpose, I'll just sort of backtrack with something that happens, because control is nothing you can have. The only thing you can really have in life is believing that there's birth, there's death, and there's change, right? Those are the only facts that we have. This is heavy, but I whenever I feel like I have purpose, I'm like, oh, I feel so committed to this world of like helping people with their sexuality. And then identifying that is really difficult. So is it a precursor or a preface to even the beginning of realizing what you want to do? Is it kind of recognizing the conditioning that you've had, or some of the boxes that you've been put in or you've put yourself in? Because that's something that I want to work out every day, because I have shame around how I was brought up.
And can I just add to that? How do you, if it's a precursor,
yeah,
how do you even fucking figure that out?
Right.
Like, I mean, we talk about this all the time. So like, I mean, I think I have some of the answers, but I'm curious what your thought is, Ian. On, so if someone's brand new, they're like, I want to start looking at myself. How do you even start to look in that mirror? You know, what is that like? What does that work even look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it starts with figuring out, what are you doing right now? And what is the experience that you're having? And then looking at, what is the experience that you want to be having? And that's the equation that happens time and time again. And I'm curious, April, because you're saying like you have this purpose in life that feels really inspiring to you. You want to help people figure out their sexuality and help them express in that way. But I felt like there was almost a but in there that you didn't say.
Well, I get hung up a lot of times. I'm 39 years old. And so I get hung up on the numbers, and I don't have children, and I've dedicated my life to exactly what I've wanted. But then I'll go back and think about the loneliness, or have I chosen the right path? And then when I continue to do the work and drop in, which is what I think a lot of people, even if they have kids or marriage or what they thought that they wanted, their purpose sometimes is more than that. So my whole, I guess it's this vast, what you're offering, which what I'm understanding is this way to sort of give yourself this embodied, not only practice to, I believe, better your, and I don't know a lot about your offering, because I'm going to find out just with everyone else. I just know you and I love you. But it's this, what, there's no easy fix, right? It's this every day is a new day. And so my thing is, my conditioning is ingrained inside of me. What are some of the things that a person that has similar things to me, that's feeling maybe they have purpose, but then it shifts, or what are the practices that I can take in, or more of the steps that Amy's talking about? You said acceptance, or having the direction, and then going on. But I feel like there's more than that, because I've accepted this. I'm like, I accept myself.
So,
but I'm like, but what's
so
the
she's
fuck?
Like, okay, so I did step one.
Yes.
I got the awareness and I made a decision. So this is what I really want to do. And then I did step two. Okay, here's what I really want to do. So how do I define myself? So step three is, how do I put that into action?
Yeah, exactly. See, Amy's perfect summarizing
and
what I'm trying to
and
get
everyone,
to.
We're still talking about sex, y'all, because
we are.
It applies to
it's
everything.
It's a huge piece of
yeah.
it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
I didn't really have a question. I just wanted more insight.
No, this
is
great.
And
can we?
Yeah. Fuck. No, it's not.
Can we make this the April show for a second?
No,
no. Can we make this just, can we use that as an example
Absolutely.
To figure out how this would work? So the reason that this program is called Altered. And I know a lot of people are like, what the fuck is an altar? I don't have an altar at my house. You don't have to. It's not about like physically placing crystals somewhere.
Well, I was thinking altered like when you get fucked up. I was like, yeah, altered.
Well, that's what it is, right? Because alter
shit.
Is
oh,
to change
see,
something,
love
right?
It. I love that. Okay.
So like A-L-T-E-R is to change something. A-L-T-A-R is this special place that has meaning, and everything on it has a place and a purpose. Right, like an altar. And so people build these in the houses, but also if you go to a church or a holy place, they're going to have some place of focus. And on that, people are going to take a lot of time and care to make sure that everything on it has a place and a purpose. Mm. And this process of altered is how can we bring that into our own lives? How can I bring this into my own life? How can I look at my life like an altar, like it's this holy place where everything has a place and a purpose? Mm-hmm. And so if we're focusing on your altar for a second, you put right in the middle, you said, I have purpose. It's around helping people express their sexuality in a meaningful way. And I'm paraphrasing here, but something like that.
Yeah.
Right? So that's on the center of your altar. You're like, fuck yeah, I've got this. And then as you started to kind of look away from that central purpose, things got a little bit fuzzy. You were like, oh, I'm 39 and I've got kids. And
no, I don't and all have kids.
I mean, sorry, you don't have kids.
I don't know that I have them, but...
but I think you would.
I'm pretty sure I'm vibing. I remember that.
Ian might not know if he does, but yeah, I don't
That's
think you know.
True. I don't know how many kids I may or may not have out there. Yeah,
he
yes.
Wrote 30 blacked out.
Don't have kids for 9 months. Yeah. That would be impressive.
Oh, my God. Sorry, trigger warning.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the valuable point.
No, this is... wherever you're going, I'm loving it. I'm here with you because... I'm loving this.
And so as you, that one thing is very clear to you, but as you started to focus on something else, it gets unclear. And so if you take a moment, like you're identifying some things that may or may not be important to you. And so the question is now you're going to sit with this idea of kids for a second and think, do I want that on my altar? Do I want this in my life? Is this important enough to place it purposefully there? Mm.
So it's like a non-negotiable or like a core value or like this is truly me and I can feel it like in my heart and my being and it deserves to be put on this altar, not just on the back burner, but it takes time to really feel into that.
Exactly. And it's okay to have something that you're not sure about too, but clearly define that. Okay, here's something I'm interested in. I'm not sure about it.
So Amy and I have actually spoke a lot to each other about this off of the recordings where we will both struggle sometimes with feeling the aloneness. And there's a difference between loneliness and being alone, right? The loneliness is where you said it. It's the holidays are coming as we're recording this. And I get all of this anxiety. All my family shit comes up. And that's when, right, my altar focus, I focus away and I spiral. So are there tools... I feel like conscious human when it comes to being healthy and practicing meditation, masturbation. That's my another
all
form
the
of
Asians.
Masturbation. All of the things that I feel really that make me feel good. It's just when you have these outside pieces that are inevitable, meaning you can't control. You can't control. It's going to be Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Christmas. You can't control that. It's going to happen. So what do you do with that? And do you just, do I sit home watching Seinfeld focusing on my fucking altar? I have purpose. I swear I have purpose.
Mantras.
My purpose,
mantras.
Is, sex. My purpose mantra. Is sex. My purpose is sex. Yeah,
yeah. Will you please help me, Ian? God.
No,
the
we're good.
And
you know, like you pointed out that some of these things that are going to come through are going to be out of your control, like Christmas or yeah. Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or Thanksgiving, whatever it is. And what you also mentioned is this stuff, like your family stuff comes up. Mm. So, right, that's going to be a little bit deeper. And that's something that's closer to your controls, your relationship with your family or your idea of family, whatever that is. And so that's really what you're going to, and that's what you want to do in all of these processes is there's, if we look at ourselves or each one of our issues or things like that, if we look at ourselves like a tree, then oftentimes we're focusing kind of on the leaves, right, and the fruit and the stuff that's on the total outside. So Christmas is on the outside. That's some leaves, right? You know, your family, that's probably a branch.
I think Christmas is like a birdhouse on the tree.
Okay.
Well, it has lights.
All right. Well, your family is a branch.
A little more
definition. I'm just picturing this tree. I'm like, fucking Christmas, birdhouses.
So it's like it's just some bird shit.
Yeah, there's some bird shit on the ground from it.
But with something like that, and there's all these tropes, right, around therapeutic processes, and you know, it's like, you know, tell me about your mother or whatever. Mm. But there's a reason that people do that, because if we're going to follow the leaf down to the branch, down to the tree, down to the root, you know, it's probably going to be something around that sort of stuff. It's like, how did your early relationships affect where your relationships are now and your attachment in this moment? And so part of altered or a lot of these processes is going to be a process of following that root down and then processing it in a meaningful way, which is where therapy and counseling and psychedelics come in.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast is free to you because of one of our amazing sponsors, such as Like a Kitten. Gift giving season is here. And if you want to give the gift of hot and steamy sexy time, then I recommend Like a Kitten's BYOB box. Like a Kitten will ship you a gift box with all of your erotic essentials where you get to choose one item out of each of their six categories. Toys, beauty products, lubes and cleansers, games, sexy accessories, and lingerie. And within each category, you have 8 or more products you can choose from, so you can build a sexy experience that's customized to your specific desires.
A few items I chose: satin wrist cuffs for bondage play, a cute yet sexy hooded fleece robe, a travel bottle of Uber Lube, and so much more. What's amazing is the box only costs $69, and some of the vibrators alone retail for more than that. So the entire box of 6 gifts is a steal. And because it's gift-giving season, Like a Kitten is giving our listeners a special offer. Right now, Like a Kitten is running their 69 sale. You can buy one perfect box and get another box 69% off. Just use code 69BOX at likeakitten.com and you get 69% off your second box. That's likeakitten.com, code 69BOX. The link is in the episode's description. Go check it out. This podcast was also made possible by OMGYes.com. OMGYes is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGYes studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure. I've been recommending OMGYes to my clients for years and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGYes is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGYes will give you the techniques to get your O face on. There are 2 seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless. That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGYes access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show.
It's where I just thank Mr. Rogers every day for raising me.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Rogers. I just thank the bugs in my backyard that I was killing
and
for
the kitty
me
litter.
Company.
No, I'm not
no,
the kitty litter.
It was cat food.
Sorry, I'm never saying it again after this.
All right. Okay, so bringing this to sex.
Sorry, Ian, it was a side note.
No, wait, no, you can make fun of me for eating the cat
I'm
food.
I'm never
that
making
one time.
Fun of you.
I just was an only
I
child.
I just love how you asked me if I've ever
food.
Tried it. I was like, nope.
What was it like?
It was crunchy.
Is it like a cracker?
Yeah.
I've always
but like
wondered.
A bad one that you don't want to eat again.
I was like, have you ever tried kitty litter? She's like, no. I was like, okay, yeah, that was ridiculous.
They're very different.
They
okay.
are different. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So,
we digress.
Okay. So I also like visuals. So we have a tree. So a lot. So this is going to be a multi-part thing. So I feel like a lot of us, and I'll just, again, myself, I have spent a lot of my life just focusing on the leaves. And it's the simple is kind of a judgmental word, but it's kind of like, oh, Christmas is hard. I don't know why I'm so stressed out. Ah, I don't know what to do. But instead, you're saying you go deeper and then you can focus on the branch. Oh, fuck. It's my relationship to my family. And then you go deeper into like further down the branch. And oh, wow, it's my relationship to my mom and you know, our history and how she did or didn't show up for us. And I know she tried her best. And then you keep going down, down, down. Is it kind of like that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh. You just keep on falling.
Nailed yes. it!
And then, okay. then there's star. Like the roots too. Then they have the roots,
yeah, wait,
though,
what's
which
roots?
Could be the roots. Just could be. I don't. I mean,
boy, no. I think there's some. I don't think we know what's in the roots.
That's well, yeah. Is that your ancestry and your lineage of the different things that happened even
or
before you were
is
born?
Is it the new you?
Right. Ooh. I mean, that's.
Oh, who gets a gold star?
You do.
I mean, that's a good question, and you're following something down that deep. I would say, yeah, your roots could be your relationship with, you know, your primary caregivers, and your roots could also be your ancestors, what's in your DNA and your epigenetics that's coming through and affecting it. And if you want to go wider than that, it's like, okay, what's the soil that we're in is probably our society that's affected Ooh. By a patriarchy. And, you know, what's feeding our roots and creating these patterns and have been for years and years and years.
Yeah. Where's the water coming from?
Is it organic?
Is it wine? Is it wine? Is the tree watered by wine?
Okay. So I'm going to bring it to sex now. Okay. So Ian, you told us earlier before we got on this podcast that we can talk about your relationships and your, and you already stated that a lot of this has been through your own journey and you smoked some toad and were like, holy shit, I got some shit to look at. But and that was years ago. And now you've done many trainings and you have done a lot of deep work, with in and without partnerships. And, so I want to speak to your current partnership, and I don't know if we have the permission to use your partner's name, but you did say we could talk about your current partnership and how you too have some practices that are in the spirit of altered. And I'm curious if you can share a little bit more about that. Like what, how do you use this kind of spirit of altered to stay connected or maintain a really loving, healthy, fuck healthy, the wonderful altered relationship.
The altered program. Yeah. The altered program.
Yeah.
I mean, not specifically the altered program, although she's wonderful and she is joining it with us, which is nice.
And she's the best.
She's such a sweetheart.
And her name is Leslie.
We love you, Leslie.
Full consent to be included in this podcast.
And you two to do acro yoga amazingly.
That's right.
Oh, and by the way, the reason why they know each other is because I invited Ian to go, not ecstatic dance, to go do a contact improv class
you
with Daniel
Cupid?
Molnar, who he's now teaching with, and now him and Leslie are in relationships.
You're the matchmaker.
You're fucking welcome, Ian.
It's true. I owe most of my life to you, Amy. Yeah.
You're forever indebted to me.
And I
You're not forever indebted to me. I just kid.
I am forever indebted to you. I'll keep paying dividends.
I feel like I'm indebted to her too forever.
Uh-oh.
Oh shit. Maybe
but you're
that's
taking
her
care
master
for the
plan.
Rest of your life.
You're making
girl.
Me look bad, you guys.
No, that's making you look great.
Everyone's gonna be fearful.
We're putting on a pedestal.
There's probably all your listeners probably like nodding their head like, I feel indebted to you.
Yeah, right. You're like, wow.
Or stay away from that bitch.
All right. P.S. She likes to eat cat food. No.
Yeah, okay. Leslie Stuckey, she's incredible. Daniel Molnar, he's incredible. Yes, you are the reason and the catalyst of me meeting both of those people.
Woo!
And Leslie and I, we it's pretty incredible. As I got into this place, even before I was growing a lot in a really meaningful way, like pre-toad, which isn't the only reason that growth changed.
It's called a PT, pre-toad.
But I've always had a sense, there's like different types of people in the world, and I've always had a sense of wanting to be the best version of myself. And I did a really bad job at that for a while, but I still had that like in my heart. And so all of the partners, or not, I don't know, was that all the partners, most of them very lovely people, but I rarely felt met in that way. Like, I really want to improve and be my best
like
self.
They felt that way too, you mean? Is that what you're saying? Like that they were meeting you there. You want to be
were
your best
not
self.
Meeting me there.
In that they weren't supporting you being your best self, or that they also didn't want to be their best selves.
Or I'm sure everyone on some level wants to be the best version of themselves, and some of us just wake up every morning thinking about it. And yeah. I'm one of those crazy people. And, you know, we're a smaller percentage of the population that have that particular drive. And it's not, there's definitely no good or bad around it, because some people wake up and are just content. And that's awesome, too. And it's really nice, coming to the topic of Leslie, that there is someone that feels as driven as me, that she wakes up in the morning to, how do I be our best selves? And so when we wake up together, we are able to kind of create this ball of best selfness together. And we do this in a lot of ways. And the thing that I was mentioning to you, Amy, is this really, it's pretty adorable and super effective and really fun. This is for people. I mean, I guess I think about couples doing it, but you could do it with a friend totally. And if it's a way, it's an accountability system that's really cool. We call it brownies, like brownie points. Mm. We have this spreadsheet. We could probably give you the spreadsheet if there's like a thing you can post it on to give people.
Oh, guess what, world? You might get some brownies.
Now they're chocolate-free if anyone's allergic.
Gluten, chocolate-free, organic, yes. Non-GMO.
They're zero calories.
Vegan.
That sounds terrible. Yeah, I calling it brownies has been problematic before because we'll talk about it or one of us will say it and the other one's like, you made brownies?
Like, get over here. Is there pot in there?
Or I was just thinking about Girl Scouts though. I was like, wait, Girl Scout cookie brownies?
Nope. I think he's talking about a spreadsheet.
No, I know. He's called talking brownies. About a spreadsheet. But yeah, you get like brownie points.
You get brownie points. So here's the thing is each person in the relationship, whether they're, you know, how intimate your relationship is, will set themselves some goals and say, okay, every day or every week I'm going to do this in some sort of way. And then you assign points for it and you get however many points. You know, we made it so that the points, you know, the max you could get was 100 each day. And then the other person, your partner, your accountability partner, your brownie partner, gives brownies, like their treats, their rewards. And so you can buy these things, and some are more expensive than others. So a massage, a neck massage might be 300 brownie points or something like that.
Ooh.
But like a trip to a workshop at Esalen might be like 5,000.
Oh. We could use this. Shameless sex. I'm going to start using this. Amy, I need a neck massage. Give me 5 brownies.
Oh my God. Wow.
I love this.
So wait, but then, okay. So is it already pre-assigned? Are you like choosing what the things are? So if we get here, we get this? Or
once you
hit it, do you negotiate? Or many questions.
Here's the biggest. Okay. For me personally, I feel like, I mean, maybe for two people who are really competitive in a really healthy way, it could be good. But for me, I feel like it's important to take out competitiveness from it, you know, so you're not trying to beat the other person. And each person score yourself. So you say, okay, I'm going to try and stop eating sugar, or I'm going to eat a really low amount of sugar because I think that's going to be healthy for me. And so you'd put that on your brownies, and then each day you would score yourself. You'd say, okay, today I did really well, so I didn't eat any sugar. I'm giving myself 10 points or whatever it is. You know, you can make up your own scoring system, but you score yourself, your partner scores themselves, and then based on that scoring system, you can kind of figure out how much your different offerings are going to cost via brownie points.
You could do like sexy brownie things. Like you could do like, all right, we do 10 minutes of sensual massage or 5 minutes or whatever, or I want to try sexy fantasy, diving into sexy fantasies of myself sharing just intimate desires and fantasies. And then you do, this could be really hot, or try something new that we've never tried before, but no pressure, right? And then it could carry over into a new week.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Like, how can we put sex in the brownie sheet?
You could do it, I mean, on all levels. It sounds
Do you define
it with your partner or partners?
Well, this
first?
Actually, this, I'm so glad that I'm here talking to both of you because this has come up a lot with Leslie and I, and also talking to other people about this process of brownies. But I'm curious around specifically with sex, like, is there some sort of issue around creating a reward with sex like that in partnership?
No, I don't think there would be, unless it's something that's uncomfortable for someone, if they're like, that's just a hard no.
I got a yes and no. So maybe? Yes, I agree with you with what you're saying. And I think that if what happens in relationship a lot of times is people use sex against each other. And so maybe this is different from brownie points, but it's like, if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to withhold the sex.
Right.
That might be different, but I think it might get confusing in the head. If I do this, I will get rewarded with sex or a certain type of sex. And so I guess the question would be, how can you do it in a way? Because I think you can't. I like what April said. Yes, I think there is a way to do it, but in a way where it doesn't become, it's balance, I guess.
So how do you do it in a balanced way? I wasn't looking at it, though, in a reward system way. I was looking at it as almost like, and maybe I misinterpreted, but as if you were in kindergarten and you get the gold stars, literally,
which
for doing good
love,
things, yes, where you drew in the lines and you get a gold star. So it's not that you have to complete all the tasks or the reading challenges when you were in fourth grade. So I believe if you would create these things together where both people are comfortable with what it is, and it doesn't have to be specific, it's try something new or have a date night or have an intimacy night. When people have a lot going on, and that could be really challenging. So doing the brownie points and then whatever the rewards are, that I took as to be a different system. Or if you earn 100 points each non-competitively, you receive something, and maybe that is walk on the beach.
I think I get what you're saying. Okay, so how about, so April and I, we have a brownie chart. And on there says, if someone organizes a date night, just someone, and we're not saying what it is, it doesn't have to be like Eslen, you know? But someone organizes a date night, they get 10 brownie points. And that gets to go in your points. And it's still somewhat ambiguous or open, but it's not like if someone gives a blowjob, you know, like not like that. But if we make it as like, if someone does something really wonderful for themselves or the other person in a way that can be sexual, erotic, sensual, kinky, or just romantic yeah. or loving, then they get some points. But there's not this refined thing of exactly how it is. And then that's my other fear is, oh, you didn't get it right.
Well, the ambiguity piece.
I said you
piece,
had to do it this one way.
That's where the ambiguity piece, where it doesn't have to be, we do anal, when someone might be like, I don't want to do that. Yeah. So it's like, we try something new.
You get 100 brownie points
Or we
anal.
Try something new, right? So something new sexually. And that could
someone
be
initiates
sucking
it.
A toe. Yeah. It doesn't have to be.
Someone buys a new sex toy. They get 10 brownie points. And then it doesn't mean that we have to try it or we have to love it. But we explored and someone took that initiative. And then
this is really interesting because you're talking about this idea of gaining brownies through the possibility of like a specific action, which is cool. And
that's how we work.
Well, or the way that we've been doing it, I'm like curious about this. Like, oh, I'm gonna add that in. But the way that we've been doing it is that you set a goal for yourself, and then you decide how close you got to that goal.
And then
you score yourself.
Okay.
But those could tie in together. Those two things then, the mix of what we said with, I like that even better.
You're talking about brownies 2.5.
It's interesting because the specific actions are usually the thing that you buy. So you're on this, you have this goal for yourself. You set it out. You set how many points it is. You achieve it to some amount, or probably several of them over time. And then you buy like the specific action. Like I'm going to do your laundry for you, or I'm going to go shopping for you or something like that.
So it's not monetary necessarily. It's you buying it out of an action, an act of service of some sort, right? Or
you're like redeeming?
Yeah.
Redeeming.
Yeah, you're like redeeming
a credit and debit situation.
Yeah, it's almost always
for
an act of service.
We're totally doing this, April, you and I.
I'm going to debit you. But that, and I think the piece that I loved, though, that you were talking about is the non-competitive piece, because I'm so fucking competitive. And I'd be like, well.
Or tit for tat.
That's the thing. And that's what I need to work on as well. And I know that there's folks out there that are like me. You're not very tit for tat at all, Amy. And Ian, I don't know. I've never dated you, but I'm assuming maybe.
That could change, April. Oh,
okay. He's altered already. So
so you don't get held up on if you've done a lot more because this isn't even necessarily in partnership. If Amy and I have, it's like if one person does a lot more and they're grading themselves, and I'm like, Amy, I had like 200 points last week and you got 25. And you're like, well, I had a really hard week. And I'm like, well, I'm here for you. I'm going to get 500 next week just for you.
Now that I'm here for you, I have even more points. Sucker.
But I think this is really cool. And how do you want to set it up though? Just give me a visual. Is this something that you do on a board? We need like
a
calendar?
Is it a chart?
Like a whiteboard with a magic eraser?
Yeah. And I think doing it analog like that is actually really, really fun and really cool. And it could be a way where it might be more motivating to like sit down by the whiteboard at the end of the night or something like that and sit down. And that's all these systems work. Really, the system that works is the system you use. And so, you know, this, like everything else, you have to do it. You got to sit down at the end of every day and figure out, how did I do with these things at the day? And then it's nice if you sit down with your partner and then you can talk about it. And there can be that piece of support, like, oh, I had a really hard time. Like, oh, okay, what was challenging for you? And, you know, what can you try to do differently in the future? Or how can I support you? Or do you just need a hug?
What's so interesting to me, so I have some of the clients I've worked with, they've shared like the littlest bits of info that I've shared with them that I learned from someone else. I did not make up. You know, I learned from some other teacher who learned from some other teacher. And one of them recently shared that just sex life check-ins with their partners, how much that changed their lives. You know, people have been married for a number of years, and just checking in, whether it's weekly or daily or just once a month or every other week or whatever, hey, how are we doing? How are we feeling here? What are our wants, needs, and desires? What's also kind of like not feeling as good as we want it to? And what are we potentially desiring more of? Or and that in itself is has changed our lives. And so what you're talking about is just like another formula for ways that we can meet each other, tend to each other, take care of each other, and also feel more alive and fulfilled. And they are like, they're kind of simple. Like they're not like these big, well, I mean, we kind of just made brownie like 5.0, but they really aren't just like coming back to this altered thing is expanding beyond, like, you know, I didn't come up with sex life check-ins on my own. I had to take trainings. I had to put it into place. And so many of the other things and teachings that we talk about on the podcast, mm-hmm. April and I have learned from other people. And this is why we highly recommend working with other people, whether it's coaches, therapists, one-on-one, whatever, taking workshops and courses and all of those things, because we can only see what we want to see. I buy the books that I want to read, and then I sometimes don't even read them, and I watch Netflix instead. You know, so it's like that we can only be so much for ourselves than is available. And so I want to bring it back to this altered piece here. Then, so folks, you're saying all genders, all bits. So we got
and vulvas, couples as well. I'm
couples,
assuming
singles
as well.
All the humans, they come to altered. What can they expect from this? It's not a workshop. You had a different word for it. Lost it.
It's a program.
Program for 6 months. What can they expect from this?
Yeah, that's thank you. And one of the things that you brought up there around this idea of like you buy the books that you want to read, and it sparks one of the most important parts of the program, which is around accountability. And that's why this Brownies program is similar, because it's about accountability. And even just grabbing your friend and saying, hey, I want to do this thing. Can you check in with me a week later? Can be really empowering. And it's one of the biggest parts of this program, because the whole thing is done in a community. You know, we create a cohort of people, and you're in it. You're with these people for 6 months. And in between each of the modules that happen every month, you're checking in with your accountability partner, which switches after each time. So, you know, you don't happen to get stuck with someone that you don't fit with. And you're every week you're coming back to that person and you're saying, hey, what do, you know, here's what I'm trying to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And so what this program really consists of, and this is actually just altered 1.0, this thing is going to grow to a whole different type of experience. But right now we're bringing it to a level that people are more used to. And so we're doing day-long journeys every month in the program. There's four of these. They're 8 hours long. And then there's a commencement thing where we all join together. There's a graduation ceremony at the end where you bring your whole community in and you make these commitments to them for the changes in your life. And we walk you through this process. And the idea is really to figure out, What are your dreams? What are your desires? What's your life purpose? Clarify these things and then figure out what's in between you and them, and then figure out what you need to do to shift that. It's this idea of evolving intentionally and becoming the person that you want to be. And intention is really the important word there, because that's what altered is about. It's a sense of we all have or a pretty dusty, messy altar. We're not really paying attention to, you know, we look at our physical life and some people's houses are cleaner than others, but on our own emotional and mental space, there's just layers and layers of really needing to define and get clarity on these things.
Mm. I have a question before we, and I don't want to end the podcast because I'm sad, because I love hanging out with you. The one thing I've encountered a lot with folks, especially, so I'm 39. We're all in our mid to late 30s.
Ian's the baby in the room.
Ian's the baby. Sorry, Ian. I don't know how old you are. It doesn't matter. It's not important.
He's over 30. We'll say that.
But I encounter a lot of young people, specifically women, that struggle with finding their purpose and they get really sad. I don't know what I want to do, April. And I try to, so my question here is with this platform, does it help people kind of focus and sort of fine tune? Because someone might just be lost and they're going through the motions and you can read all the books or you can direct them in certain ways and you can try to handhold and go to therapy and do these things. But I like the altar sort of, even for partnership, like creating an altar in not physical, but it could be, but this concept to me is really beautiful. Could this program help folks like that as well? Just get clear and focus and drive? Because I'm going to recommend that to all of them. I'm not kidding.
I got a whole list of people I'm sending you.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's really, this program can help people who are on different, vastly different stages of their path. But if you don't have clarity about what's going on in your life, great. Like, come in here. That's what the first module, the first 8 hours, is all about. And we're going to use a lot of these practices. You know, Daniel is the movement guy. And so we're going to get embodied in that way. And then I love journeys, whether it's through psychedelics, which we're not using in this form of altered, although we are, because we're going to do breath work. And so it's this deep therapeutic process where we can dig in, and for those of you who don't know, breath work is a way to create psychedelic states just by breathing. And holotropic is the best known one by Stan Grof. And it's a way to allow the natural wisdom of your being to come out of you. And that's what breath works and psychedelic and all these things are about. And so if you don't know, then this is going to help you find that knowing in yourself. Because if you're just talking to someone about it, I mean, that's helpful, but you're still just up here in your brain, which is all coming from these patterns and beliefs, and you're out in the leaves, right? And so this process is really, again, helping you go down the branch, through the trunk, into the roots, and really find your truth inside there, and then be able to bring that out into your life.
And is this in person, or is it only in person in San Diego? Is it online? Because I think I missed that piece.
That's a great question. This one is only in person.
In person. And this one is, so please let us know in closing, how can folks find you and your work? How can they get on board with the Altered program? Mm-hmm. That's not getting fucked up, y'all. Okay. No, it's the Altered. And the dates and anything else that you want to share, please.
Yeah.
XO.
Yeah.
heart emoji.
Yeah, it's really, really easy. You go to altered.life, and that's altared.life, and all of the information on what it is and giving you a greater sense of what you're going to get from it is on there, and also how you can sign up for this next one that's coming up. And also you can just sign up to just stay tuned in to this process, because it is eventually going to grow to a year-long program that does include psychedelics in a legal fashion, and everything's there. Altered.life. It's super easy. And also, if you're interested in somatic counseling and doing that work with breath work and with psychedelics, go to santacruzmedicine.com.
I've wanted to attend to so many of your breath workshops because you give them in Santa Cruz, but then it was COVID. So I know that I've heard nothing but amazing things about the work that you do for people. And Amy's talked about, and I've never done a breath workshop at all with myself, only in meditation and focusing, but it is transcendent. It's the natural, I always call it the medicine of your body that you have. I mean, as long as you're in an oxygen, you know, plentiful environment, at least if you're in outer space, sorry, you're going to have to, moderate that a little bit because you want to save or underwater.
Yeah. It's powerful. And how you use it, you also, and we have to close, but you also will use it a lot of times, like as preparation for people to kind of move and release energy. And then you move into more of the therapeutic tools in terms of, because you're Hakomi trained and you're trained in IFS and a lot of other things.
What's
too.
IFS? Can you please?
Internal family systems.
Thank you.
Just there are various therapeutic methods that do not have anything to do with psychedelics. They're their own thing. But I'm a firm believer, and you've heard us talk about this a lot on the show, that we believe in embodied therapy. And yes, talk therapy can be nice. It's nice for me to just talk about myself. And some, you know, some people like that and they choose that. And I think for some people it's helpful. I think for a lot of people, it's just scary to go inside and feel all the feelings. And then when you work with someone that helps you go inside, but if you do breath work before and that shit cracks you open, well, here you go. Now you're ready to go. So that's, I think, something that you offer too, is that it can be part of the therapeutic thing. And so as April's asking that, for people, yes, your workshop is in person in Santa Cruz, but you do work with people online as well, correct?
I do. Okay. Yeah. I work with people online. Most of my clients are online right now since COVID, although I love working with people in person. And yes, April, breath work is incredible. come to me. We'll do a free session. You'll get to see the magic.
I'll pay you with hot octopus toys. Okay. And no, I wanted to do it so many times. And every time there's always been something preventing me from getting, a global pandemic was really the huge preventative piece. So anyway, I just want to say though to folks out there that maybe are not familiar with any of this work, it is something that it can benefit you no matter who you are, where you are, and something to just tap into and kind of open you up and probably get you to a zone where you will be happy that you listen to this podcast and that you met Ian Stratton right here.
And maybe Daniel Molnar.
And maybe Daniel Molnar, yeah. Who I still haven't met. So God damn it.
Someday. Oh yeah.
Someday.
April a while ago was like, didn't you say that Daniel Molnar and I, we're really similar to you? I'm like, no, not at all.
And I was like, you did? I swear you said that. She's like, no, I just said that you handled teaching workshops or something like
that. Because he asked me to teach him. I was like,
yeah.
No.
I was like, oh, I misinterpreted that. Egotistical bitch. I'm talking about myself.
It's not insult to anyone. It's like April's like, you know, just super high energy. And Daniel totally can be. But he is, in my opinion, one of the most like, and he's done so much fucking work. I mean, he's in his 50s. He's done a lot of personal work on himself. And he's just is one of the most real, loving, authentic men, like penis owners, I have ever met. And I'm sorry, partner, you're wonderful too. And I think that you are one of the best humans and men I've ever met too. Like I do feel that way about my partner. And Daniel Molnar is fucking magic. And so are you, Ian. And I'm so glad you guys are offering this. Remind us again of the websites and how to sign up just one last time.
Yeah. Altered.life is how you get info on the program, the journey. And SantaCruzMedicine.com is my personal website if you're into personal counseling. And I'll also send both of you some links to different breathwork things that I think that people really like and that they can do on their own too.
Nice. All of those links will be on our website, so no worries if you're driving and you don't have a pen. And to all of you out there, I'm gonna breathe into my glass of wine right now because apparently that's like natural decanting. Okay, it just decants it naturally. So if you don't know, now you know. Go to marginswine.com. Amy and I love our bottles of Margins wine. That is boutique wine made in the fabulous state of California, most of which is small batch.
That's really small batch.
But it comes from unrepresented regions. So very unique, beautiful wine. Great gifts if you want to give someone that enjoys wine the gift of some Margins. You should go do that. Mm-hmm. All right, go do it. And I'll do one more invitation for you. If you haven't done so yet, go on iTunes, search for Shameless Sex on the podcast app, give us 5 stars, and we read every single one of the reviews. I don't read the bad ones because Amy knows I cry at night. She does it. And so give us 5 stars.
We don't get a lot of them. And please don't give them to us.
No, the reason we ask and prompt you to actually rate us on iTunes, it's because it helps more folks out there in the entire world find people like Ian to help themselves to get themselves back to the way they want to be or forward to the way they wish to be. So just remember, it helps everyone, and we love you. Thank you for being part of the Shameless Sex Revolution. We'll see you next Tuesday. I'm breathing into chat for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.